What up? What up? How's everybody doing? Today, I want to talk about probably one of my favorite topics, and that's digital attribution, right? It's what I've kind of built my consultancy solution around, and it's just really awesome to see it work, right? For lack of a better term. Like whenever I start doing discovery conversations, or I start working with a dealership and we start to kind of break things down, it's very fun because I enjoy the numbers and the analytics side of this business. But for the dealers themselves, it's really good for me to see kind of the change or the shift, right? One of the things that is kind of a miss in our industry as a whole is that we are looking at, it's a very leads-centric business, right? And it's not just the dealers. Like a lot of these, this content out there, including myself, I'm guilty of this myself. When we do this content, it's a lot about, you know, oh, dealerships are focused on leads, but it's not just the dealers. Vendors are focused on that too, right? Like, for example, look at CRMs. CRMs are all focused on leads. I mean, is it really that difficult to connect your CRM to, say, Google Analytics and pull information from your own website into the CRM? No. Super easy to do. Would it be difficult for any vendor that's providing impressions and views to deliver that information to CRM so that it's all transparent and on one place? No. Super easy to do. Can dealerships not use Google's API to get that information, or Facebook's API to get that information, you know, for the stores that are doing a lot of automotive inventory ads? All that stuff would be very, very easy to do, but the whole ecosystem is built on leads on both ends of the spectrum, and so the stuff that we should be focused on the most, we don't, right? So, and again, I shared this in the last episode, but there's, you know, the Facebook has a document out there that's like a dealer guide. Google has a document out there that's a dealer guide. You know, like I've had Bob Lanham on the show. I think he did two episodes with us, and you know, he said himself, like, the answers to the test are right there in those documents, yet we don't use them for some reason. And so I'm going to share with you guys my process here towards the end. You know, it's something that's very easy to do that you can implement at your dealership. Again, it's what typically when I get hired to do something at a dealership, it's to do this one thing, which is to tie in everything, right? Like what we do is we extract all the information from all the different portals and we put it in a place so that decision makers at a dealership can see it, can see every single thing. And it's not just digital, right? Like there's impressions that happen with TV and radio, for instance, traditional TV and radio. All that stuff should be measured, right? You know, the average dealership has anywhere between 12 to 17 or 18 portals. I think this is the last statistic I read. We've done a study internally ourselves. We came up with 12 to 17, so it's right there. Different systems that dealerships are using to kind of run their operation. And so, you know, let's try to break it down to the ridiculous and say 35% of those are for marketing, right? Is anybody at the dealership going to log in to every one of those different portals, pull out all this information? No, who has time to do that, right? I mean, most of us don't even, you know, we log into the things that we absolutely need, like the CRM, you know, Viato, the things that we're using to run our day to day. But are you going to take time out of your month, log into every single portal? And why would you have to do that? You know how You know how tedious that is? I mean, that's just, it's just not conducive to success for anybody. It's not, I was a vendor too at one point, and we got measured on, dealerships logging into their dealer site, right? And, you know, but who's gonna do that, right? They see it when you show up and they sit and make time for you to sit down and have a conversation. And the rest of the time, they're not gonna be in there, and they shouldn't be. That's the other thing, they shouldn't be, right? That's why I'm a big proponent of dealerships hiring people, either and this isn't a plug to hire us. Like, we're not even, we can't even take any more clients. So these are just facts, but dealerships should focus on hiring somebody at the dealership that is tasked to do that. Like a data analyst of some sort, right? Get somebody that can go into all these portals, pull the information, become a filter, which is, you know, what we do, right? Be a filter of garbage information that you can't use and it's not going to help you. And then put this information in a place where it can be, where you can digest it so you can make better decisions. You know how many times I look at vendors canceling partners that they shouldn't be canceling and keeping partners that they shouldn't be keeping? Like, it happens all the time. And it doesn't have to be that way, right? So if you're already hiring a marketing person or a marketing director at the dealership, then you should be hiring somebody to, if that marketing person isn't doing it, you should be hiring somebody that's going into all these different platforms, going into Google Analytics, extracting all that information, and, you know, tracking that and using that information and providing that information to you in a way that you can, then you can digest it and actually make decisions. So, the other thing too is, like, there's companies out there that want to claim attribution, like this Clairvoy or whatever is one. And I know Auto Trader's always pushing them to kind of, I think that they have like a 90-day trial or something. Something like that. I've gotten emails before, but listen, folks, don't fall into that nonsense, right? Because the reason why they can provide any information is because they put pixels on these third parties, because the third parties allow them to do that. So, and the reason they allow them to do that is because those sites do have shoppers. They have shoppers, no question about it. But you're always going to be better off driving and creating or getting customer intent and driving that intent to your website. That's always going to be a better play for the dealership. And these folks are not able to track, they can track some of the customers, right? But if you really wanted to track all customers, you know, put a pixel, like I was talking to somebody, a good friend of mine the other day, put a pixel in the shower, you know, all car shoppers shower, or at least we would hope they do, right? Because that's the only way. I mean, just look at things like Comply Auto, for instance, right? A lot of these people can't even be tracked anymore. And so don't fall into that whole nonsense that these folks can track the customer's journey. They can't, you know? The only thing that they can do is they can put a pixel on those third parties and track the behaviors, some of the behaviors that happen on those sites. If you ever do any of those studies, watch. Third parties are always gonna be the ones that they say have the most shoppers, because that's the only thing that they can track, you know? And anything else is gonna get diluted anyway because of privacy and all that stuff. So the way to really showcase attribution is not in the shopper. And I say this to my clients all the time. You can't track attribution by measuring shoppers. The only way you can truly track attribution is by tracking vehicle activity. That's the only way you can do it. Track vehicle activity. You know everything is there for you folks. You know the lead that the car is getting. You know the SEO views that the car is receiving. You have all that information. You are getting all that information already. It's just not displayed in a way that you can digest it. You know, it's not displayed in a way that you can digest it. But that's the information that you want to track. You want to look at the car and see, did this car have organic views? How much? How many leads has this car received? How many appointments has this car received? That's the stuff that you need to be tracking. And that's how you can measure vendor performance. Not by trying to track the consumer and following their journey online, because you can't do that. All right, so I talked about kind of the way that we measure attribution from a marketing side. And so I'm gonna share that with you. You can take this information and do it at your dealership today if you want to. So here's what you do. You can't just measure leads, because that's 11% of the story, right? I've never done an audit where I've seen 80% of the sales come from leads. And if we look at, again, Google statistics, I shared this in the last episode. I'll link it in the show notes on this session as well. The Google guidebook tells us that, 29%, only 29% of folks are going to submit a form. Everybody else, they won't. And 41% won't even contact the dealership. They'll just show up, right? So trying to track that, or trying to give vendor attribution in that way isn't the right way to do it. The other thing that we can't do is you can't measure all views, because not all views are occurring on your website, right? But you can identify value exchange. And what do I mean by that? You can identify what your value exchange is with your vendor, whether it's views, leads, a combination of the two, impressions as well. But how do you do that? Well, you need to understand what your marketing budget is, right? You need to know what you're spending on vendors every single month. So whether you do that with some sort of tracker, or budget tracker, or some sort of Excel spreadsheet, it doesn't really matter. Once you have all your vendors and all your expense, right, which again, I mean, I know some CRMs do that, but we don't set up CRMs that way. So the majority of the dealerships, let me put it to you this way. I've never worked at a dealership or with a dealership that had that set up. But I know VinSolution allows you to do that. There's some platforms out there like, I think it's Attributely, the one from S Media allows you to input your expenses and stuff. But anyway, anything that you use that has that. Once you know what your actual marketing budget is, then it's very, very simple to do. You just take that budget and you divide it by the amount that you spend on a vendor, and that gives you your percentage. So what percent are you spending on this vendor, right? If 10%, 5%, whatever it may be, right? So for instance, let's say that, let's use Car Gurus. Let's say Car Gurus is 2% of your marketing budget. Well, what is Car Gurus to you? Is it a lead provider? Is it a view provider? Is it both? Depends, you know, I don't know. Maybe for you, Car Gurus value is in the leads that it gives you. So that's how you're gonna measure it. Maybe it's in views, maybe it's in both. So if it's 2% of your, did I say 5% or 2%? Whatever I said. So if it was 2%, I think I said 2%. So if Car Gurus is 2% of your budget, of your marketing budget, you should at least be getting 2% of leads from Car Gurus or more, in order for that to pencil, right? If it's less than 2%, you're not getting the value in return, right? So that would be considered, in my reporting, that would be in red. Okay, Car Gurus is not providing you the value that you're spending. And so they need to go. if it's a view provider, it's the same thing. Let's say that ad taxi is 12% of your marketing budget, right? View providers and impression providers tend to be a little bit more expensive. So let's say it's 12% of your marketing budget. Well, if 12% of your views or more are not coming from your ad taxi campaigns, then it's not ROI positive. And by the way, I'm not saying that CarGurus is an ROI positive or ad taxi. I'm just giving you examples, right? The reality is that that's going to vary from market to market, brand to brand. You know, like CarGurus, AutoTrader, those platforms tend to be ROI positive for brands like Toyota and Honda, for instance. But they tend to not be ROI positive for brands like Nissan and Mazda. So it just all depends. It depends on your market. It depends on it depends on where you are, where you get your inventory from, how you price it, merchandising, all those things, right? Where your ad, when I say where you are, where you're advertising on, you know, Google, Facebook, things like that nature. But that's how you do it, right? You understand, like I always laugh when decision makers talk about having ROI conversations and you ask them, okay, what's your marketing budget? Oh, I don't know, somebody else handles that. Well, then how can you have an ROI conversation? You can have a lead conversation, but you can't have an ROI conversation if you don't understand what the expenditure is. You need to understand what it costs you in order to have a return on investment conversation. So that's how you do it. It's not that difficult. And then all you need to do, right, is get those numbers. You don't need to get these huge reports that have a bunch of fluff in there, saved vehicles and, you know, this and that and the other metric. No. All you care about, impressions, views, and leads. That's it, folks. That's what you can... that's what a vendor can provide to a dealership that's of value. Impressions, views, and leads. That's it. Vendors don't sell cars. Vendors don't set appointments. Vendors have nothing to do with the gross. Like, that's the other thing that's hilarious to me. When vendors come in and they're like, well, but you sold this car for me and you made $6,000. Who gives a shit? Did the vendor buy that car? No. They have nothing to do with that. The car just happened to be on that platform and it was the right car, it was bought right, and all these other factors that have nothing to do with the vendor or their platform. So just very, very simple. I'm going to attach a screenshot in this in the show notes so you can see kind of what my report looks like. But it's very simple. It's color coded, right? So, and I'll put like a lead provider and a view provider so you can see from different perspectives, but it's very simple. If it's red, they have to go, or at least they're not ROI positive. And you know that if you continue to spend money there, well, that's on you. But at least you know that they're not ROI positive. And the ones that are, then you'll know that too. And you don't need to cancel them. Sometimes we want to make cancellations because we didn't get the lead, but don't realize that that partner is driving a lot of views and a lot of impressions. And as we know, the majority of customers will not fill out a form. So take a look at the report. You won't be able to make it as fancy as me, but you can do that at your dealership. It's very simple to do. And then you can see what's ROI positive and what's not. And the goal is to get as many greens as possible, right? Because if you can get a roster or what I call a vendor roster that's all green, you're going to get more leads, folks. I know the thing that we want the most. You're going to get more of those, but you're also going to get more traffic and more quality traffic. So it's a very, very simple exercise. Trust me, do this and then exchange, try to get as many vendors to green as possible and watch how you magically see that you're selling more cars. Anyway, thanks. We'll talk soon. Take care. Bye.